is Chicago's home for sports. You're listening to Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000.
Broadcasting live from the Old National Bank State Street Studio. This is WMVP WSHE HD2 Chicago, a Good Karma Brands radio station.
Thank you to Courtney Cronin for joining us today. Thanks for calling, listening, and participating in the show. Thanks for being on Twitch. Today and every day, twitch.tv, search ESPN 1000 Chicago, live in the Old National Bank State Street studio. And thank you to Chris Black and Adam Abdallah. It's time for Crosstalk with Waddle and Sylvie, brought to you by Club Hawthorne. Put a little more action into your weekend at one of Hawthorne's 16 newly remodeled betting bars, or bet the races from home or on the go with the Club Hawthorne mobile wagering app. Yurko is at one of those beautiful new remodeled OTBs. He's at Joliet's location with Club Hawthorne for a pool party this Saturday from 3 until 5.
Now, by pool party, you don't mean
swimming suit. He said he's going to wear the Borat banana hammock.
Not a Deadpool party either.
Come on, dude.
No, we're talking about a pool party. We're going to get $1,000.
It's a pool.
And on my horse racing knowledge, I'm going to make the wagers. We're going to try to make it happen. We're going to try to get something, you know, with some trifectas, a couple of superfectas.
You're going to be a de facto Eddie Olchek.
Yeah, de facto Eddie Olchek, only with less knowledge of horses.
Yeah, Eddie really knows.
I've got a little bit of knowledge of horses, but Eddie's the man with the knowledge.
That's how hard it is.
Yeah.
You can have all that knowledge, and it's still hard to pick winners in horse racing.
Some of us appreciate Eddie Olchek's knowledge.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, we do. Not maybe the Hawks might not.
Exactly. I like that subtle shot.
Jamie Faulkner might not.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Hashtag take that.
Hashtag
get hats.
Take that.
You better be careful. Jamie Faulkner's personal protector is Frank.
Frank the intern,
Frankie, that's personal protector.
Frankie bought donuts today. It's his last day.
Frankie's a mensch. Hell of a run.
He can get under your skin, though.
He bought me a chocolate banana long john.
Banana long. Is it chocolate long john?
No, dude, there was banana inside of it. Yes.
Oh, banana cream?
He did that for you. The donut shop didn't do that. Frankie did that for you.
But it wasn't like a Bavarian cream. It was kind of
like a banana
entrenched into the donut itself.
That's
what I'm saying. Yeah.
Banana cream in a donut?
Frankie was telling us when he was an intern, I think it was at Comcast Sportsnet back when that's what it was.
Oh, they couldn't wait to chase him out of
there. No, and he said, I was there and I used to work for Mr. Boyle. And he walked in.
Mr. Boyle.
And he said, right, Pat? And Pat looked at him. This is when Pat was in for Sylvie last week. He goes, it's still Mr. Boyle. And Pat was just busting his chops.
That's great.
Just busting his chops. Yeah. It was a good line by Pat.
I like that. Absolutely.
PB was good.
I got to say that the just like everything changes, everything evolves. I'm not saying there's a right way or a wrong way. Mm-hmm. The interns these days, since we've last had them, and Carm, since you and I interned coming up through the business, they've certainly
it's
gotten
a cakewalk.
They've gotten much chustier too.
Oh,
they're a little bit more empowered.
Well, you can't smack them around anymore either.
Like we were when we interned for Gene Greco.
Did you used to smack around.
It was smack them around a little bit. Let them know you're the boss.
Oh, they would. You like
better
Sylvie's
to be
right.
seen but not heard.
And don't screw up.
That's not how Frank lives.
Don't screw up.
Frank, you know he's coming from a mile away.
All of them.
Frank told us not only there were donuts, but his business cards were on the table.
Did he? Yeah. I think the workplace is different, though, Sylvie. You're right. It's a totally different environment. It is. Sylvie is 100% right. Now, we're dinosaurs. We interned in the 90s, for crying out loud.
When interns were interns.
Men
were men and sheep were afraid.
You were like a grunt.
I always tell the story. One of my first tasks, I had to spray paint Mark Jean Greco's balls.
Yes.
Right by the river.
That's right.
He gave me a couple of these metal balls.
You called it spray painting back then.
We had to go to the hardware store, pick up spray paint because it was the 92 Olympics, and he was doing a bit on the shot put. We had these like awesome. Balls, that's and we had to make them look like they were shot puts.
Were they 12 or 16
balls?
The shot put.
Right, the shot put. So we had to go down by the
gray,
river.
Like silver?
Yeah, right, to match that. That was our big, that's what we did. And we sat there until they told us.
You better not screw up.
Did you give Mark your business card before you started spraying the balls?
Can you imagine? Business cards as an intern? But now they all have like a YouTube page. Good for them. It's different.
Yes,
I'm happy for them.
Like
times are different.
Yeah.
Times are different.
We used to have other interns who would just sit there and not do anything.
Which is terrible. That was the worst thing you could have done back in our day.
Remember we had the one that fell asleep?
Oh, yeah. We had all kinds.
They had to option her on the AAA Buffalo.
We had good ones. We had bad ones.
Tony. Oh, Tony, I the Russo. Had two Russo, good subtle yeah. shots, good. And they went above so,
no, it. It was yeah. good, Sylvie. I got it. We've had good ones and bad ones over the years. Frankie is a go-getter. I'll give him that.
Yeah.
He's something.
He's a go-getter. It's yeah. good to have him back, though. You know, they bring a little life to the building. And we can goof on him if we want
let's
to.
Let's remember, so you married an intern, too, Carm. That's always a good thing, so,
that's right.
Yeah. Yes, he's got a soft spot in his heart for interns.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah.
It's the internship program is
two-time,
important.
Two-time internship. Maybe you can adopt so much Frankie. The first time she came back the same kids. Time.
Frankie?
Adopting.
No, I'm not going to marry Frankie. I'm certainly not going to.
I said adopt him.
I'm not going to marry him. Or marry him.
I said adopt
him. Put Frankie on the program, you know? Put him on the program.
Carm, are you halfway to Vegas right now?
I'm halfway.
I'm going to miss you tomorrow. It's all right, man. You enjoy yourself out there, all right?
I will. Don't worry.
What time do you land?
You know what I say?
Early. We're on an early flight out, so that's good.
So what is the first plan? I mean, what's the plan?
When you play roulette,
going right to the poop.
Always yeah. What hotel are you guys staying in?
I'm not telling you.
Don't tell them.
That's good. Good veteran move by you.
Pool by, I'd say, like 9 o'clock Vegas time is the plan.
How long before you are fully cocktailed up?
11?
Won't be that long.
Yeah, I was going to say noon, but Sylvie might be right.
Are you going to be asleep in the afternoon and then you'll get going again?
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe.
A little nap?
Yeah.
It's not a bad plan. You should sleep by poolside, though.
Is it a rambunctious crew you're going with or low key?
No, yeah. I mean, it's a pretty
low-key
fun crew.
Yeah. All right.
Probably sit down.
You guys all staying in one suite?
No.
Oh, okay.
That we're not
doing. It's couples, right?
It's couples. Yeah. I'd probably be at the blackjack table by noon.
Is the missus a big gambler?
Not really. She'll play slots.
She'll play slots, yeah. Penny slots, or is she playing $100 slots?
No, she doesn't play $100 slots.
I just asked. I'm asking.
No, she'll play like the
next Coach K? Coach K was doing? He was doing the $100 slots?
Yeah.
Speaking of the big suite, we were reminiscing. I don't know how we got on the subject earlier today.
Bourbon A?
In the office. No, we were talking about the time Dan Lecky, who was an old friend of the show, of us, took like me,
Carol's Travel.
From Carol's Travel. Sylvie,
probably about
me,
2010, right?
2011. Yeah. Roman Madrowski, Nick Friedel, Berger and Perry. Was that it? Was it just the six of us?
Sounds like it.
We had a suite. He got us a suite at the Palms. I mean, it was like the Hangover.
Like Hangover?
I mean, it was. Oh. I mean, it was full on. We walked in and we were like, whoa,
a hot tub in the balcony overlooking, you know, the Strip.
Yes.
Now the hot tub was a little dirty.
I wouldn't step. Put my pinky.
Some would say milk went in.
Could you have somebody come in and splash it with a little bit of chlorine?
I'll tell you, who's in there.
Roman.
Yeah. Roman Madrowski.
Roman and Perry were in there.
He got a soak right away. Roman couldn't wait to take off his clothes and get a soak.
New filter. They need a new filter.
New filter
was all.
You'd have to drain the pool, lay fresh concrete, and then refill it before I got in that thing. I'm like, no chance.
At no point during the trip did you get in it.
No chance.
All they gotta do is shock it, and then there's nothing in there that can get you.
Yeah. You have to blow the thing up and start over.
Come on,
maybe I think about it.
They filmed Smoking Aces in there the night before.
God, there's 0.0%.
How many bedrooms did it have in it?
I wanted
multiple, a lot of beds.
Like if I'm remembering, I don't think anybody. We had like six of us. Did anybody share a room?
No,
it was huge.
Everyone had their own.
Everybody had an own. If you didn't have a room like you had, I had this bed. I got to sleep by myself, and it had like this sliding door.
Like a cove.
It was like a cove kind of. There were rooms.
Did you guys throw a party in there?
We didn't throw a party, but we had fun. You know, we watched. I remember it was Bama LSU was the weekend we were there.
It was the big. Remember the 6-3 game?
That's what it was.
It was that 6-3 clunker.
Yes.
When everyone made the big deal out of Bama and LSU that year.
Sure. That's right. So we made plans.
So it wasn't like the Hangover. You guys were actually watching football.
We made plans like before we did anything that night. We loaded up on booze.
Mm-hmm. Think about what time the game starts in Vegas.
Oh, early 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
And so we were like, this is going to be awesome. Forget about the book. Like just watch. Watch it in here, all of us. We got a ton of booze.
Some of the girls from the Bunny Ranch came down.
No, we didn't do that.
Oh, yeah. Air Force Amy. Oh, yeah.
Air Force Amy. You guys didn't watch that on HBO?
Love it. The Bunny Ranch.
That guy passed away like a couple years ago, didn't he?
Did he?
What's his name? Dennis?
Dennis.
Air Force Amy
was awesome.
She was about 45 at the time and did not like it when a young, buxom 22-year-old would come down the pipeline.
Get her out of here.
Boy, she was not happy.
It was good times, man.
Good stuff. Great shows. But no, the girls from the Bunny Ranch didn't come down in 2011. No, all right.
Should give them our restaurant tip.
No, I'll
for
pass.
That Saturday night.
It's okay.
Oh, I heard you guys went to Treasure Island.
Well, we did
that was another
epic fail.
We're looking for another one?
Yeah, that was a different epic fail. But these guys, when they were there in October, had an epic fail.
It was,
yeah.
The Treasure Island looked like the number one rated restaurant.
I don't even know if that's a fail for a couple of guys that are over 50. Like, is it really that big a fail?
It was a big buzzkill.
I mean, at this point, Vegas, it's got nothing but unbelievable restaurants.
I know.
How do you find the worst one?
How do you find
the worst one?
Here's what happened. I had the restaurant.
This is for Bears when you guys were there.
Yeah,
I had
Bears
the restaurant. I had the restaurant
Raiders.
Recommendation from Friday. Tipped off by Jesse.
Where'd you guys go?
We worked. It was in the Circa Hotel. It's this brand new steakhouse.
In the Circa. Okay.
Awesome.
And it's run by guys who have Let Us Entertain You connections.
Okay.
One guy who used to run Nine in Vegas.
Oh, wow.
So we got to meet the owners, the head chef,
Nine,
and everything.
So that had to be good.
What is it called? I don't know,
but it was excellent.
I follow him on Instagram, and it's a who's who.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Even though it's not on the Strip, all the athletes go there. Yeah.
Circa's got a lot of juice right now.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Yeah.
So I didn't want to...
Did you see Circa was underwater when the rains came through? The sports book got flooded.
Really?
One of the televisions exploded, and it started coming out of the wall TVs.
Wow.
But he was, the owner was great. Derek Stevens is like, hey, we're up and running.
Yeah.
We're going to fix this. This is nothing for Vegas.
Yeah.
So anyway, I didn't want to then, like, go overboard with my restaurant recommendations. There were like 12 people.
Right.
So I didn't take charge on Saturday.
Who did?
No one. And that was the problem.
That's a mistake.
Yeah.
That's a mistake. And you guys ended up
the Olive Garden? I mean, what's going on?
Something comparable.
It was very similar.
What was it called? It was called the,
Tropicana?
No. It was something worse than that.
Is the Tropicana? It's not even still standing.
Yeah, that's Dantana time. No, that's over.
Didn't it have an Italian name?
The
hotel had an Italian name.
Yeah. And Sylvie was sparring with the waiter. It was pretty good.
Was it downtown or on the Strip?
The waiter was being a wise ass.
It was off the Strip. It was downtown, and it was off the Strip.
Sylvie, did you eat the steak and want to send it back?
The guy, when it came to get a drink order, he was being kind of a wise ass, the waiter. He's trying to be funny.
Here's my thing.
Was it like Ed DeBevics? Was it busting your chest?
He looked just like Dusty, too. I already had some sort of a thing.
He had batting gloves on.
And wristbands.
And wristbands.
And he had a little boy on his lap.
Yeah, as he was delivering the food.
Here's my pet peeve.
The name of it was.
Meet my son Sparky.
We'll figure it out. Here's my pet peeve. When you go out with 12 people or 10 people,
right?
When they come around, they're like, "Sir, can we take your drink orders?" And everyone's like, "Oh, I haven't looked at the wine. I haven't looked at the." When I sit down, I want to have
a drink. You know everything you need.
Well, I want a drink right away. I don't want 12 people making up their mind. So if they're gonna wait, that's cool. I want my drink order in. Now, call me crazy. I know I am. I need a drink the moment I sit down at a restaurant.
I want a bottle of white, a bottle of red, and give me a Captain Morgan dragon.
So he was like, okay, I'll be back. I go, sir, can I get a dirty martini?
Dance those blue cheese olives.
Yeah, you know what you want. Okay.
And then he kind of gave me a double look.
Really?
Like, yeah.
Yeah. You know you're in a bad place right off the bat.
I need a drink. I drank a lot last night.
First of all, it's not like you guys didn't know you were going to the restaurant. Everybody should have had their drinks ready to rock.
I'm with you on
right
that.
Right there. Yes.
Even when my wife goes, she starts, where's the skinny margarita? Where's this? Which juicy, juicy drink can I have? I'm like, hey, I need a glass of this right now. She'll make up her mind in a few minutes. Come on back for that.
What are you, working the Senate? What is this, a filibuster? Make a damn decision, woman.
He's like Matthew McConaughey in the beginning of Wolf of Wall Street. He's like, bring us two dirty absolute martinis, and then every
Tito's.
4 minutes, bring us... Oh, sorry. Wow. Yeah. I'm just quoting from the movie.
It's back to school.
They didn't have Tito's back in the 80s when they were making them. But you're right, Tito's. Yeah, he says, what does he say? He goes, bring us two, and then every 5 minutes, bring us four. That's so he sits down, let's go.
Yeah.
Time to party.
It's party time.
I want the martini. I don't blame him.
I'm back on the dirty martini kick to start the evening.
Right.
Tell people think long, think wrong.
Right.
That's the problem.
Yeah, you have your whole Uber ride to think about what you want to have to drink to start your night.
Was it a casino that was attached to it?
Yes,
like
of course.
A bad casino.
Tommy is looking at it.
Trying to figure what it was. Now it's sticking in my brain.
I'm telling you, it's an Italian name.
Yeah, it is.
The casino?
And it's like, It was an old, kind of a, had a, the like, old like decor.
A Pellegrino.
May have had apartments attached to it as well.
Oh, my God.
I'm serious.
What the hell were you guys doing?
Hell.
I go to the Bellagio. You can't go wrong with the restaurants in the Bellagio.
Going to Cosmo. Can't go wrong.
Listen, there was an NFL game that weekend. I think we were struggling with, you know, reservations.
I cross-checked it with TripAdvisor.
Yeah, that's what it
was. And TripAdvisor was number 38. Because of all the old people who like it.
I guess, but I mean, even that, even 38, I mean, yeah. All you got to do is walk into...
Let me see here.
Aria, Cosmo, one of the restaurants in there.
You're not going to
go. It reminded me of one of the restaurants out here, one of the older Italian restaurants out here, no, like away from the
like
city.
Like Piccolo Sonio?
Like no, Sabatino's?
Is something kind of
what
like...
What was the place that Northie used to advertise?
Rocatoni's.
What was that? The two-in-one restaurant. Wasn't there like
Jilly's. Who was with us? I'll send a text.
Come on down to Jilly's. Me and Knuckles are
Danny
be
Lynch
there.
Was with us.
I don't remember the place.
Abdallah was
Actually,
with
I
us.
I thought Abdallah was with us, too. I'll text him.
The best old place out on Irving Park Road was Sabatino's, but that place was awesome. Now, you walked in there, you were the oldest, you were the youngest in there by 35 years, but it was fantastic.
I'm scrolling through all the restaurants in Vegas, and I'm like, boy, there are really good restaurants.
How did we end up here?
Where are you guys going tomorrow
night?
I'll
tell you the place I'm looking forward to tomorrow is this, or not tomorrow,
where are we going?
It's Friday. It's a place called Delilah.
Delilah?
Which just looks.
Where's it at?
It's in the Wynn. I mean, it just looks.
Hey there, Delilah.
It just looks unbelievable. It's old school supper club style, and I can't wait. Yeah, I cannot wait for that.
Going
to be
upset. Are you going to get dressed up for it?
Yeah, it's not
you
no sport joke.
Coat,
like
tie.
You don't need a sport coat, but no jeans. You know, no athletic shoes for men. Yeah. No jeans.
Got to have slacks.
Got to have a collared shirt.
Some like loafers.
It's no joke. I can't wait. I'm so excited about that. And then we'll pick a few other places. I like going. Yeah, there's every great chef has a place
Vegas
out there
is great.
Now.
Vegas is
it's
great.
The entertainment capital of the world at this point. It's better
how
than
are the,
Broadway.
How are the hotel? I mean, is it reasonable? Are the rates
high?
Yeah,
this time of year is good. That's why I like going in August. I know it's hot, but okay. You're by the pool, you're in the casino.
Yeah.
Who cares if it's hot? So it's hot.
Going
it's
on a show? What kind of shows are you going to?
I don't know if we're going to a show. We'll decide
you're
on the fly.
Put on a show.
We'll
at
put
the
on
pool
a show.
Oh, here we go. Yeah. Put up in the boudoir.
Was it Tuscany Gardens. Someone just direct messaged me on Instagram.
Tuscany Gardens.
Remember our first the first
and
thing we experienced when we walked in? Carm was
motor
was
car.
Two motor women in motor in the motorized
you should have ran
wheelchairs.
The minute you saw that.
What's the matter with you?
It was crazy.
I mean, come on.
I think at that point it was late and there weren't a lot of options at that time.
At that point, you got to call the
automatic. The fight was in.
We
made the huge mistake. We could have gone to the fight.
Yeah.
And that turned out to be one of the greatest heavyweight fights ever.
Yeah.
Weren't there like five knockdowns?
Wait, which fight was it?
Wilder and Fury?
Yeah, Wilder Fury. That's right. You guys were there for that.
And so we didn't go there. Ooh. And then we didn't pick a good restaurant
for
seven.
We went to Tuscany Gardens.
We went to the gardens.
Oh, my God, guys.
You deserve what you get sometimes.
Let's go back to Vegas. We'll do it right, okay?
Listen, sometimes you win, sometimes you lose.
I'll be there in October.
Lose.
Yeah, he's going. He's playing.
I'll be there in October. Cascada, I'm playing.
He's playing.
Rio Seca, because you get a double dip on those two.
Man.
And a couple others we haven't decided yet. 25th, and I'm coming home Sunday.
Nice.
I'm gonna go with Yurko.
Yeah.
Sneak in his suitcase.
Let's slap the little white ball around.
Yeah.
Hold me up. Put me in your trap.
How many days is that? You're gonna be there 4 days.
Four nights. Yeah. Playing four courses.
You guys, I'm sure the Roquan conversation will continue a little bit today.
Yeah. Has there been any progress?
No, I don't think so. No.
I'm going to practice tomorrow.
Are you?
Yeah.
You're going to duck up before?
Me too.
We're both going.
Check it out.
Well, we've got the short show because the Sox are on, so it's a good day.
It's a good day.
Sort of go out there and do some work.
Do some recon?
Yeah. Meet some people. Say hi to people.
See all 40 guys that are actually available for practice.
21 guys.
21 guys.
Who's healthy to practice, guys? Where you at?
It's a lot of guys.
That is, especially for in a camp where you're, you're really on the field for an hour and 50 minutes, and you're not practicing twice a day, which, I mean, obviously they don't do anymore.
But injuries happen, man. You look around the league, like, they're happening everywhere. Ryan Jensen's backup had to get carted off the field today. They're going to be on center number three in Tampa.
Maybe we can trade him Sam Mustafer.
I think they said it was cramps, right?
Oh, is that right?
I didn't see that.
Pickle juice, guys. Let's get the pickle juice back up, man.
I saw you got carted off. I didn't see the update. All right, that's
did you guys watch Hard Knocks last night?
I did not.
not.
I didn't know it was on list
as advertised.
Campbell's a lunatic, but.
But I was saying this to Waddle. Do you know how some of them know when they're mic'd up?
Yes.
And some of them know they're on camera, and they amp up their performance. Gruden, I feel, was like that.
Sure.
Like,
play Gruden, to the camera.
He would play to the camera, or when you're mic'd up, you act differently than normal. Campbell's the opposite, in my opinion, after one episode, where there are some press conferences when he acts like a meatball or a meathead. The more you got into the episode and you saw the way he interacted with his players, his coaching staff, and some of his philosophies, you're like, the dude's actually, he's pretty bright.
Doesn't matter if you have one ass cheek and three toes, yeah. I will beat your ass.
Now, that was a different part.
Sylvie came in today wanting to bite some kneecaps.
That's
he came and said, you know what, let's bite some kneecaps today.
It's not all like that.
So what we're going to do today, the show, we're going to talk about Roquan Smith. We're going to bite some kneecaps. I don't care if you have one butt cheek and five toes.
There's something oddly compelling about him. They covered a lot of games last year. They were a big dog a lot, but they covered a lot of games. And they blew a lot of games when you think about it.
Yeah.
The Viking game, they should have beat the Ravens.
Yerk, you know who his quarterbacks coach is?
Mark Brunell.
How long has Brunell been there?
2 years.
Two years.
He's got Deuce Staley on that staff. He's got Aaron Glenn on that staff.
That's what they did. They said over 90 years playing experience.
Yeah. He's got a really
Hank Fraley, is that the offensive line coach?
He has to be able to teach.
Yeah. They've got a lot of good coaches and a lot of former players.
Well, just because you play doesn't mean you're a good teacher. No, I know, but these guys. But Aaron Glenn's been in the league a long time. Deuce Staley's been in the league a long time.
I'm just saying, you have to be able to teach. Yes.
I want Antoine Randall Al.
Yeah, Antoine Randall Al's on their staff.
Is he their receivers coach?
Yes.
Thornton product.
Yeah. Yes. Love to have him on before the Lions game. You guys should go back down memory lane with Mark Brunell.
I thought the same thing. Absolutely.
Rooney.
All right, so John Shire kicking off the show.
Yeah,
with you
John's
guys.
Parking right now. John's going to be in studio with us.
Coach K's parking the car for him.
Oh,
right
really?
Now,
oh, already so. With the Coach K jokes.
Yeah. Well, we get him out now before John comes in.
He might have dropped Coach K off at the door, and he's parking the car.
Okay, whatever.
I don't know. Poor John.
No. Get him out of your system now. John's about to walk in.
It really is. We were reminiscing. When the show started, when the Waddle and Sylvie show started, you guys were doing the show then, too. John Shire was a high school basketball player for Glenbrook North.
Writing a weekly column.
15 years ago.
Now he's the head coach at Duke, and we're still doing the same damn thing.
Now he's head coach at Duke.
And we're still doing the same damn thing.
Isn't it remarkable, the trajectory of some?
Yes.
The really special ones?
Yes.
He's the coach at Duke.
And then the flat line of others.
Then there's us.
Of us.
Then there's the rest of us.
Well, that's Tommy, not the ultimate flat line.
Well, that's true. I mean,
all right, so we're lucky.
Got that right.
He's all grown up.
He's got the Duke shirt on, too.
What did you get the Texas A&M shirt he was going to wear? What do you mean?
I mean, what the hell?
He's got the Duke shirt on. What do you think he's going to wear?
What's going to happen?
It's crazy. It's so crazy.
We'll reminisce with John, the head coach at Duke, coming up next.
All right.
And then, obviously, lots of football. Shefty today.
Okay.
4 o'clock to talk about the Roquan situation.
Waddle and Sylvie get you home
next.
Hey,
enjoy Vegas, brother.
Thank you, my man. See you guys
next
week.
Don't get arrested.
Tuscany Gardens. Write it down.
Tuscany Gardens. I'm putting the note in my phone right now.
Don't do anything that the good kid wouldn't do.
Well, we'll get you home next. We'll see you.
Well.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000 and now on FM at 100.3 HD2.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
Another gorgeous day in the city of Chicago as we get going here. Adam Schefter will join us at 4. Talk about Roquan Smith. Nothing new there on the contract dispute. We'll see where this thing goes. Plenty on the White Sox later in the show, too. And the Field of Crap Game is we're calling it. The
Thursday
Field of
night.
Dreams.
My
Thursday.
Reds and your Cubs meet up in Iowa.
A guy who just threw out the first pitch at the Cubs game over the weekend, and he's now the head coach at Duke, is joining us inside the old National Bank studio. You can watch it all on Twitch, by the way. It's twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. He's a Chicago area native from Glenbrook North, won a state championship here, won a national championship as a player. He is now the head coach at Duke, John Shire, joining the Waddle and Sylvie show, just like you did when you were a player.
Full circle, man. I'm telling you, it's good to be back with you guys. It's been about
17 years, something like that.
Yeah, Sylvie was saying this before the break. You were in high school at the time. We were doing this, and now you're the head coach of Duke, and we're still doing this. So some of it's changed, some of it is not. But pretty cool, yeah. I mean, how are you feeling about everything?
I'm feeling good. It's been such a whirlwind. It's been about 11, 12 months since I found out I was getting the job. It's been a whirlwind. It's been exciting. There's been a lot that we've needed to do, mainly replacing, you know, a great team that we had last year. You know, we had 5 guys drafted, lost 8 of our 10 scholarship players. And so really the first priority, you want to do a million things.
Right.
But the best thing you can do is get really good players. And we've done that. And now we just need to get to know one another. We get our group back in a couple of weeks. So I'm excited to get a chance to, you know, there's a lot of other stuff that comes with being a head coach. But now for me to get the opportunity to work on the floor every single day with them, that's what I'm most excited about.
I was going to say, like, isn't it real now? I mean, not that it wasn't real a year ago. And I want you to go through the story and how you found out. But first, like, you had a year to sort of move into it and absorb all of it. But now is it a different feeling? Like, now it's your thing?
Yeah, it's funny. It's, you know, you find out you're getting the job, but then it feels so far away. And, you know, it's because it's, you think Coach K, in a way, he's just going to coach. I know he says it's his last year, but it's not going to end. You know, it just feels like it's not going to happen for a long time. And so really, once our season ended the night of the Final Four, that's really when it felt real to me, because nobody's telling you. You're not waiting on a meeting time from Coach K, or you're not waiting for direction. People are waiting for a direction from you. And that's really when it started. And now as it's getting closer to the season, like, it's go time. This for me is I don't want to say the easiest part, like it's a walk in the park, but it's what you know the best. That's being on the floor with our guys.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's probably you get back to doing what's most comfortable for you, because it's what you've done in the past. Not that several years from now, what you've done in this offseason, you know, that'll be familiar to you as well. But I think at this point, you probably just want to get back on the court, don't you?
Yeah, that's it. I mean, it's, you know, really, it's ironic, the timing of all this. You're dealing with one thing of, you know, what does it do with our program losing Coach K after being here for over 40 years? But also the changing times in college basketball and college athletics, really.
Right.
Like, two things happening at once. You have to make decisions that no coach has had to make, but Coach K hasn't have to worry about some of these things. The one-time transfer rule, what does NIL do? What does, you know, realignment at some point, how does that look for us and, you know, entire college sports? So it's been interesting to navigate all of it. I think we're in a great position, but it's been a lot of other things besides X and O's, coaching, teaching, which is what, you know, I'm excited to do.
I sort of, like, smiled and smirked there, because you're taking over really at a crossroads in college athletics.
Right.
Not only are you filling the shoes of Coach K, but now you're taking over at the most interesting time maybe for college sports ever.
Yeah, and, you know, part of being successful, and I've talked to, you know, my AD, Nina King, about this throughout the process and afterwards. I've talked, you know, had many conversations with Coach K about this. But I need to be true to myself. And in being true to myself, you may make decisions that are different than Coach K. That doesn't mean it's on purpose or anything like that. Part of it, though, is if Coach K was continuing to move on this season, he'd have to make some different decisions, because it's just a different landscape. And the way we recruit, the way that, you know, you coach, you teach, you...
What is the biggest difference?
Yes.
I think the biggest difference is it's so hard to have continuity, you know, and, you know, unlike college football, where, you know, even though there's a one-time transfer rule in college football, you still have guys for multiple years. So you add in one-time transfer rule, you have competing leagues where, you know, you have professional options for high school players. But then also, you know, really, how do you maintain where you have a core group that builds together? But then also, we want to continue to recruit the top talent, which we've done and want to continue to do. But it's a very delicate balance that you have to figure out. I feel we're one of the few places, if not the only place, that can recruit the way we're doing it. Like, our main source is not going through the portal. You know, we don't feel like that's the main way, you know, for us to be successful. Although this year
we brought in some key guys that have great experience. Jacob Grandison from Illinois, Ryan Young from Northwestern. Like, they're really going to help us just with their experience and knowing what it takes to win at this level.
Do you still have any pinch yourself moments? When we were talking on the phone to set this up, you said to me about going to the Cubs game and how all this came together as coach at Duke. Like, the percentages of you taking over for Coach K was like point. I think you said like 0.01%.
Yeah, I think it was.
Well, so, like, you believe in yourself and you have all the confidence in yourself. But are you still the kid from Northbrook who goes, oh my gosh, I'm the head coach at Duke?
I don't know that I'm doing that every day, but I was getting lunch with a buddy of mine. He was playing in the Glen and the other day, and he says he played well on the golf course. I'm not so sure, but we were talking afterwards, and he said, do you realize that you've in Coach K's time, like you actually have a better chance of being a president of the United States than to be the next head coach at Duke? Because just simply the numbers of it, there's one person. And so, a lot of this is timing. A lot of it is also about being ready for your opportunity. But for me, it's like I don't lose track of where I come from and the decisions you make along the way to have the opportunity to get the opportunity, if that makes sense.
How has recruiting as the head coach changed for you versus recruiting when you were one of the top assistants?
I think the biggest thing, it hasn't changed necessarily with how I communicate or build relationships. To me, I'm myself. I was myself as an assistant coach in the same way as a head coach. But it's different. There's a huge difference between suggesting and deciding.
Yeah.
And so, end of the day, there's a lot of talented players. There's a lot of, really good players that have great character and that have feel and love it, but there's only, a handful of guys that you can recruit and think that they're the right fit for Duke. And so making that decision at the end of the day, pulling the trigger on it, is different than recommending or suggesting, here's what we should do.
Right.
Did you ever play good cop, bad cop with Coach K, where Coach K would be the bad cop? And then the players knew they could go to Coach Shire? And then are you in turn going to become the bad cop at times?
I think, obviously you have to do that. I think your job as an assistant coach is to compliment your head coach in whatever way. And so it's a little bit different. I don't know what you would say with your playing days. But like when I was in college, I would make a mistake and come out of the game, and Coach K would yell at me, Chris Collins would yell at me, Steve Wojciechowski would yell at me, Johnny Dawkins, and you hear it from four different people, and now you can't do that as much. And so if I'm getting on somebody, I want one of my other coaches to pull him to the side and explain what I'm looking for in a different way, and that's what I've tried to do with Coach K. But he's become, the last few years, even the way that he's communicated is changed a lot. I don't think you can be this guy who's yelling at your players all the time. It has to be what you're explaining. Like, now you have to explain why we're doing a certain drill and what's the purpose behind it. And if you do that, then I think you create, real buy-in from your guys.
What's your line of communication with Coach K right now? Is it an everyday thing? Is it when you want to talk to him? And what role will he have inside the university going forward?
Yeah, he'll have a big role with our university. He's an ambassador, and he wants to help the school in general, but our program, athletics, and we communicate often. I mean, it's such a unique time with he's entering the next phase of his life, and I'm doing the same thing with mine. But end of the day, part of his legacy, I hope, is the continuation of an amazing, successful program. And you look, that's hard to do. And I think he set our program up in a great spot to be successful. But we communicate, every week we're talking. And when I'm back in town, I'll go see him and just catch up. And, besides the program, we're friends. Right. So it's... how's your dog doing, and how's the family, and same thing on my end.
There was a puppy, right? That you guys got, wasn't that like a going away puppy?
We got him a puppy. We got him a puppy.
Don't come back. Look, you already named me head coach. Here's a puppy. Go take care of the puppy.
The puppy takes a lot of time and effort.
Right. Yeah. I've got the team. You've got a puppy now.
It's funny. The first.
Did you give him some puzzles too to work on, like some 10,000 piece puzzles?
Well, it's funny. I got him the puppy, and then every time we would talk for the next month after that. you know, he'd always make it, you know, get in a shot about the puppy. Yeah, I didn't sleep much last night. He was taking the puppy out, you know, so I was getting mixed signals whether he liked her, liked the puppy or not.
How will things be different? How are you different, your style? How do you envision your team will play that may be different than Coach K has led the program for decades?
Well, I think I can't speak to how it's different than Coach K or how it's perceived that's different than Coach K. I'm sure parts of it will be. I mean, what he's done and the way he's been able to coach, partly is because of the amazing success that he's had, right? So there's certain things that I have to do differently because I need to create that for myself. But I think as you look at any coach in any sport, the best compliment you can have is they take on your personality, right? And for me, you know, as a player, you know, I made many mistakes and wasn't always perfect, but I never stopped, you know, and that's something, you know, I hope for our team where we're just relentless, you know, whether we're losing, winning, down, whatever it may be, where we just keep coming at you. And, you know, obviously you think about Duke and you think about the teams that we've had, you know, being smart, understanding time and score and game situations. For a young team, that can be harder, but those things are really important when you look at the margin of error when it comes time to win in March.
All right, I want to talk about some fun stuff, too. We went down memory lane of you playing against one of the best players in the NBA, and we want to know what your scouting report on this player was back then. We want to talk Chicago sports with you. We want to talk about renovating your office with you. There's lots of things that we've got to dive in with. John Shire from Glenbrook North, now the head coach of Duke, in studio with Waddle and Sylvie.
Hey, you can stream live sports and original content with ESPN Plus. Today, you get access to the award-winning 30 for 30 library, unrivaled UFC access, including exclusive pay-per-views, live coverage of 35 PGA Tour events each year. You get daily Major League Baseball games all season long. You get the ESPN Plus and Disney Plus bundle today. Stream anytime, anywhere. Go to ESPNChicagoBundle.com to learn more.
Miss a show? All your faves ready and waiting on the ESPN Chicago app.
You are listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Our friend and now head coach at Duke, John Shire, in the old National Bank studio. You can watch this. It's here till about 3:20-ish. And you can see it on twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. See, so while he's moved his way up from, you know, All-State, one of the best high school players ever from this state,
championship,
to a championship and an assistant coach and head coach, we moved the radio show to Twitch. I mean, we're now online on a TV-ish thing.
You keep telling yourself that we've made progress. Go ahead. Make yourself feel better.
That's all good. Yeah, that's big time right there.
So we were, Jeff Miller, who's right over there, who's been with us forever, was Googling box scores. The NBA, like, you know now so many NBA guys, you've recruited so many of these guys, but we were looking back on your playing days, and we looked back to a Duke-Davidson game in which Steph dropped 29 on you guys. You guys won, though.
Yeah.
And what were you thinking? Did like it all stick out to you as a player, the greatness then at all? And what was your scouting report on him?
Well, it's funny. The first time I ever heard about Steph was my freshman year. We played him. Could probably look it up, but the fifth or sixth game of the year, and the scouting report is, you know, look, this kid Steph Curry, he's a freshman. He, you know, doesn't look like much. I mean, at that point, you know, physically he was behind, but he can really play. And we played him. We beat him pretty good. But then the next two times we played, he was just, I mean, the next to the, when we were sophomores and juniors, he was just a handful. So quick, you know, the ability to get a shot off lightning fast. I mean, you know, he was an amazing player then. Did I think he was going to, you know, change the game in this way? I mean, it's hard to imagine anybody's going to do that. But he was an amazing player. Great respect for him, and what he did at Davidson is, I mean, incredible.
So you had no idea at that time that he was someone, and I don't think that you're exaggerating at all. That he has helped change this game.
I would argue he's changed the game as much as anybody in history. Really, when you think about it, I mean, the shots that he shoots. I get to see kids at a young age, you know, 15, 16, 17 years old, and just over the last 10 years, the shots that kids shoot, the shots that kids work on, the amount of emphasis that's put on every player, not just guards, shooting threes. I mean, that comes from the Warriors and Steph, has it not?
Do you have to tell kids? Yeah, do you have to tell kids though? At times, you're not Steph, so shooting yes. from the logo is not yes. a good idea for you.
You do. No, you do. But that's. I think he's, you know, the creativity that in his game, like it's not like it's unlike anybody you've watched before. I mean, you think about some of his shots. I'm sure if you went back and watched our game versus Davidson when he had 29 points. Some of the shots you shoot isn't something your coach is, you're not working on that or you're not setting a play up for him to take those shots. It's him using his creativity and just amazing confidence. And that's what I respect so much about him is just his creativity with his game is top notch.
See, but he's also like, not only has he extended the shot making areas on the floor, but he's given hope to, I'm sure, like a lot of kids who normally back in the day when you had to be 6'6 to be a guard or 6'5, right. that slighter players, if they're really good shooters, can now play, right?
Yeah, and I also think it shows to play in the NBA. One of my friends who's a scout in the NBA said this, but you know, you have to do something that's great. Like, what do you hang your hat on? You know, it's hard to... you know, when I played, I wish I put a little bit more of an emphasis just on shooting. You know, and when you're a shooter, you try to always show, well, you're, you know, I could pass, I could score, which I could do those things. But, you know, I mean, just you start with the base of being as good of a shooter as there is, and then that opens up your passing. And then he's tough on top of it, so he battles on defense and all the things. He checks those boxes, but it starts with an amazing ability to do one thing at the highest level. It's I enjoy watching them so much, and then also he never stops moving.
Yeah,
you know, I mean that's the thing. It's not going to go into a box score, but you can ask anybody that's defended him. You hate guarding him because you're running around the whole time. You have to chase him and fight through screens. It's not fun. It's not fun guarding him.
Is the game better now? Is it more aesthetically pleasing? And is the game better because of how he's changed it?
I think so. I think it is. I mean, the skill, you know, you actually, so for me, I mean, growing up as a kid in the 90s, you know, you think about the Bulls teams and it's hard to be better than that. Like, that's for me, like the pinnacle of basketball, right? But also you watch some of these games and how the game was played, some of the shots that were being taken. It's the game has progressed. Guys are more skilled now than ever. That doesn't mean, you know, if, you know, Scottie Pippen, you know, from the 90s, his game would probably be different now. It doesn't mean he still won't be one of the best players. Right. I just think it's different. More resources. There's, you know, they're developed at a younger age, more international players.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you have some guys that are, you know, Kevin Durant and Giannis and these guys who are 6'10", 7 feet, handling the ball, shooting. It's incredible. By the way, you said how many points he had. How many points did I have?
That's a good question.
What did he have, Mallory? Did we check that? We were blinded by Steph. We're like, his Splash Brother.
The team won. John who?
Won, did we not? We won, and there's no...
Of course. Weren't you Steph in Glenbrook at Glenbrook North? Weren't you shooting like Steph at Glenbrook North?
Come on, jacking threes before Steph was jacking threes?
Oh, yeah.
It's messed up that you just skipped over that.
All right, John Shire went for 22 in 36 minutes when the Duke Blue Devils beat Davidson 79-67 back on January 7th, 2009.
See, would you ever...
I think you just disrespected him.
Would you ever talk trash to Steph now and say, do you remember that game where we beat you by 12 and I dropped 22?
No, well, one of the funniest stories for me is I made the transition from playing to coaching. It was literally I think it was the first summer I was back, maybe the second summer, I was able to join Coach K for some of the USA basketball mini camps in Vegas. And there was, you know, Coach Thibodeau and, you know, Coach Monty Williams and, you know, Coach Boeheim. And you have all these guys. And one day I'm just in the meeting and I'm like a court coach. You know, I'm basically rebounding and that's it. And you have LeBron, you have Steph, you have all these guys. And, you know, I'm 26. Like, I'm just starting off coaching. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, you know, Tibbs tells me that I have a basket. and just I was going to have guards, and all of a sudden I have 15 guards walking towards me, and it's, you know, I mean, it's the best guards. It's Westbrook and Steph, and and they're looking at me like what to do, and you like if you're in that environment, you better know, you better have your stuff together to make sure you know what you're talking about. So Steph made a comment to me like, all right, you had to beat us in college. Now you're going to tell me what to do. Like, what's up with that? And but I've had
that broke the ice, right?
Yeah, yeah. No, it made it easier. And he's, yeah. But I have great respect for him, and you know what he's done is pretty incredible.
That's good. I want to ask you the best player that you've seen in high school. We'll get to that coming up next. I got a bone to pick with you.
Oh boy,
we'll do that.
Every guest that comes in here, he's got a bone to pick with somebody.
Sylvie's bone to pick. Yes, yeah. John Shire, head coach at Duke, in studio with Waddle and Sylvie.